This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Global energy markets respond to Harvey. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. Tropical Storm Harvey shut down some of the country's biggest refineries. And when the refineries can't refine, the continent crossing pipeline that they feed doesn't flow. The Colonial Pipeline, critical for serving the East Coast, has shut down. All this is starting to affect gas prices. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The Colonial Pipeline runs from Houston all the way to New Jersey.
The Colonial Pipeline is the granddaddy of them all.
Phil Flynn is with the Price Futures Group.
That's basically your main artery from Houston to the entire East Coast.
Flynn says after the Colonial Pipeline shut down, wholesale gasoline prices rose over 27 cents a gallon in just a few hours and are now at their highest level in 2 years. The Colonial Pipeline Company is hoping to reopen the pipeline this Sunday. But the big question is when Houston refineries will reopen. Andy Weissman is an energy attorney at the Pillsbury Law Firm. He says if the refineries are closed for a while,
it will create a big hole in U.S. gasoline supplies. And that will result in continued upward pressure on gasoline prices.
And prices for jet fuel, affecting airlines, too. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Back when Katrina hit, the U.S. was a net importer of gas and petroleum products. These days, the U.S. is normally a net exporter. And that means Harvey's effects on energy markets are global. Richard Mallinson is an analyst with Energy Aspects in London.
What we're seeing already is a lot more cargoes of gasoline, diesel being booked from Europe to head to the US in order to make up for the losses and the difficulties in moving products around, but also heading to other markets like Latin America, because Latin America has already had a really difficult year for its refineries and the US has been making up the shortfall. But now there's a gap created by the loss of US supplies, and so European refiners are looking at putting more gasoline, more diesel, not only into the U.S., but into Latin America as well.
We expect gas prices to rise here. Is this going to push gas prices up globally too, you think?
I certainly think it will in Europe, and I think we can see some of these impacts extending into Asia because this is a very interconnected market. And what's happening is we've got a very big, unexpected disruption, and so prices are rising as a way to try and adjust flows, to try and encourage refineries to produce more gasoline where that's possible, but also to bring some of the gasoline that's stored in inventories around the world out to meet short-term demand.
Richard Mallinson with Energy Aspects in London. And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.25%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 1 to 2/10 of a percent range, with the Dow future up 44 points. Futures of Brent crude, a benchmark for European oil, are down 0.2%.
Hi, it's David Brancaccio. I wanted to let you know about some changes coming to this podcast feed Tuesday, September 5th. You'll still get the Marketplace Morning Report that you already know and listen to, and a midday update. Plus, we'll start including a new global edition of the Morning Report, hosted by the BBC's Anu Anand, that will bring you all the international business and economic news. So, thank you for listening.
About three-quarters of school districts have school lunch debt at the end of the year. That's lunch bills that are unpaid by parents. The USDA is requiring schools to spell out their policies for dealing with those unpaid bills, hopefully sparing children embarrassment when they don't have enough money for lunch. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
Bethany Staples' son was going through the lunch line at Auburn High School near Seattle a few years ago.
And he had his tray with his stuff on it ready to go.
But when he punched in his number, the cashier told him his account was empty.
And then she snatched the tray out of his hand, threw it in the trash, and then gave him, they call it a sandwich, but it was just two pieces of white bread with a piece of processed cheese in the middle.
The practice is common enough that it's got a name, lunch shaming, when parents have unpaid bills, but the kids pay the price. This school year, the USDA is requiring all districts to make it clear to parents how their school will respond in those situations.
Hi. Pizza? All right. Pizza? How many pizzas?
At Brooklyn Park Middle School outside Baltimore, parents get a robocall every night warning them if they have a negative balance. Kids get to charge up to 5 hot meals before food service manager Rose Bennett pulls them aside.
Then I'll talk to them and I'll give them a cheese sandwich because you want to take money out of your pocket and you know you can't do that.
Diane Pratt-Hevner represents cafeteria workers, a spokesperson for the School Nutrition Association. She says the new policies vary by district.
But the first and foremost effort that, you know, we really see consistently across the country is trying to avoid the alternate meal altogether.
Partly by making sure every child who qualifies for free or reduced price lunch through the federal government is signed up. Michael Wilson is director of Maryland Hunger Solutions, which is pushing the state to pick up the difference between free and reduced meals.
The kids in the reduced price category are facing the biggest challenges because they're just above the poverty line, and they're the kids who are most likely to skip school meals because they can't afford it or because they have school bills.
More than half of high-poverty schools are now avoiding the problem altogether by serving all their kids free meals. Bethany Staples, whose son's lunch was thrown away in Auburn, Washington, actually qualified for free lunch but hadn't realized she needed to reapply. Carol Barker is child nutrition director for the schools in Auburn.
We don't want any of our children to be embarrassed because they don't have money. We realize this is a parent problem, not a child problem.
This year, her district is reversing the lunch line in its elementary schools so that kids see the cashier first and know what kind of meal they get before they go through the line. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes and Claire Tennisketter produce Marketplace Tech. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.